Thank you, Don. Good to be back home here in Edmiston Heights with all you dear friends of ours. We were around here for 17 years, but now we're back at our other home where we came from originally. Now, I had Don read the scriptures to you this morning because my eyesight has changed, and I was in for an eye test recently, and they gave me a new prescription, and I've been in to get my new glasses, but they're not ready yet. So trying to read close up is a difficult problem. So thank you, Don, for reading the scriptures to us this morning. What I would like to speak to you this morning is about the value of the assembly gatherings. The value of the assembly gatherings. What we have read to us this morning is an incredible account of God at work in and through the lives of two of God's committed servants, Peter and John. Look again at chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." And being let go, these two men had been arrested and imprisoned for no good reason at all. But as they were arraigned before the leadership of the land and could have faced serious consequences, because of the dramatic events that had happened in the miraculous healing of this lame man. And can't you just picture this man who had been lame for 40 years and had never walked? Now he's up on his feet and leaping and shouting and praising God. Well, this is going to draw attention to from a lot of people. You don't go around leaping and shouting and praising God without somebody paying attention to you. It was clear to the rulers of the land, both political and spiritual, that something extraordinary power had occurred, and not only in the preaching of the apostles, but also in the healing of this lame man, whom they all knew because he had laid at the beautiful gate looking for a handout every day for years and years. His parents brought him there every morning. I don't know how they lugged this guy that's now 40 years of age. He's likely not a small man anymore. But somehow or other, they brought him there every day. So the rulers put Peter and John in custody overnight in verse 3. But we are told in verse 4 that through this miraculous occurrence, about 5,000 men believed in Christ. Wow. What an evangelistic message that this was to so many people. In John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples that after he had gone back to heaven, that the Holy Spirit would come and empower them to do wonderful signs and wonders, all in the name of Jesus. Does the Holy Spirit still have that same kind of power today to do signs and wonders? Or has it diminished? I don't think so. I don't think the Holy Spirit has lost any of his power to do signs and wonders even today. So what has changed? We have. We have changed. I don't think we lay hold of the power that's available to us through the Holy Spirit of God like the early church did and the early disciples did. Then it says the next day, the high priest and the rulers and the scribes met together to try and decide what to do with Peter and John and to put a stop to this kind of activity that was happening, likely because of jealousy. They were jealous at so many people that were now changing to follow Christ rather than to follow their traditions of Judaism. In the next few verses in chapter 4, the two apostles were interrogated by the leaders, wanting to know how and they could perform such a miracle and by what power it was accomplished. And we too can expect opposition if we are going to see results for Christ in any way and be effective for our Lord. Those in authority in those days didn't like what was happening, and you can count on it that there's going to be opposition if we are seeing results for Christ. And that's why Hope Valley has asked for prayer, because they are seeing positive results for Christ in the lives of children coming to Christ. Peter responds immediately, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and in verses 10, 11, and 12, Peter gives them a gospel message in simple and clear terms. And in chapter 4, verse 10, Peter tells them that it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him this man stands here before you whole. Peter didn't hold back. He accused them that it was they who had crucified Jesus. And I don't think they would have liked to have heard that at all. They'd be really upset over Peter's putting it bluntly to them. This is only a short time after Peter had stood up in the midst of a throng of people in Jerusalem in chapter 2, immediately following Pentecost, and preached a powerful gospel message, and 3,000 people came to Christ that day when Peter preached. They were born again and added to the church. The early church was growing rapidly. 3,000 on the first day, and a few days later, another 5,000. Wow, what a growth. The leaders observed the boldness of Peter and John, that they were untrained men and without higher education degrees, but could tell that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful kind of a conclusion that they came to? Would to God that people could look at us and say, that person has been with Jesus. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God and the boldness to use that power for his glory. Peter and John were driven by compulsion and commitment to Christ to speak boldly for Christ. Would to God that we had that same kind of boldness to speak for Christ in these days when we have opportunity. Just think for a moment, how many times have you met with someone and you had the opportunity to share Christ with them and what it means to you personally, and we failed to take that opportunity? Men and ladies, boys and girls, we need to have that holy boldness. And that's what it takes. It takes boldness to step out and do it. Sometimes I think it's because we're too timid and afraid of what people will think of us and what they will say. When the leaders considered the entire matter, they could not see, and they could see this man who had been healed, leaping and walking and praising God. There was no denying what had occurred, so that they were in a quandary to know what to do with Peter and John. So what did they do? Well, they commanded, You guys just stopped us. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. Don't preach or speak to anyone in the name of Jesus. So Peter again speaks up and says, in effect, who do you think we should be obedient to you or to God? Then asks, you be the judge of that. So Peter didn't hold back again. Peter must have been one outgoing personality kind of a guy. Anytime he had opportunity, he shared his faith with whoever, and he didn't hold back. He accused these people of being the ones who crucified Christ. Now he's telling them what Christ means to him. You be the judge. The leaders threatened Peter and John again and let them go because of the many people who were glorifying God for what had happened. Then we come to verse 23. We're going to read it again. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Being let go, they went to their own company. Even in those early days of the church, there were companies of believers with the same commitment to Christ as Peter and John, and with the same interests of the Lord at heart, a place where they felt safe and were welcomed. Peter and John knew where their spiritual safe home was. They came to their own company. And folks, you don't know the value of Christian fellowship until you have been deprived of it and it's not available to you. For several years as an OPP officer in the North, there were no Christians to be found. And if I happened to see someone that I recognized going through our little village as being a Christian, I stopped them. And I said, I'll tell you an interesting story about what happened one day. I started in Port Arthur, or Thunder Bay now, and I had the occasion to go to a little gospel chapel in Thunder Bay one Sunday, and there was a man there by the name of Mr. Gray who was speaking. And one day when I was going downtown to get the mail first thing in the morning, I saw a car coming towards me, and in that part of the country you just looked at everybody and checked them out because you didn't know whether there was drunks or what, or somebody that was on the wanted list. So I saw this guy going by and I thought, boy, that looks like that Mr. Gray that I heard preach. So I turned around, came back, put the lights on, pulled him over and stopped him. And he rolled down the window and said, good morning, officer. I said, good morning, sir. He says, was I doing something wrong? And I said, I'm not aware of anything wrong that you did. He says, was I speeding? And I said, no, I don't think so. So he says, well, why did you stop me? I said, are you a Christian? And he says, yes. And I said, well, praise the Lord, I am too. And the two ladies that were in the back seat and the other man in the front seat beside him, you could just see the relief come over their face. They weren't being arrested for being Christians in Canada. But you know, the value of Christian fellowship. I said to them, do you have time to come and have a coffee with me? And they said, oh, sure. They were real happy to do that. Once in a while, there were two men that came through town. They were shantymen, and they visited the bush camps and the mines in the area. These were brave men because they were going into very hostile territory, and they would share the gospel with these miners and bush workers. And if I saw them, I would say, come on, guys, come on, we got to go and have a coffee together. Just to have some Christian fellowship. And folks, you don't know how valuable it Christian fellowship is until you don't have it. We all need to thank God for the value of Christian fellowship. Peter and John shared with their fellow believers all the details of their experience. And in response to this, they all lifted up their voice in praise to God that Peter and John had been counted worthy to serve the Lord in this manner. Isn't that a wonderful thing? They came to their own company. They wanted to get back together with their fellow Christians. Do we have that same kind of a desire? Or is it just because it's Sunday and we're supposed to go to church? Do we have a longing desire to be with the Lord's people in the Lord's house, to worship and praise our God and to hear His word ministered to us. May we always look at the assembly of God's people as a place where hearts and voices will always be raised in praise to God. There's nothing more energizing for believers than to be involved in praise to God. The assembly was also a place where prayer was lifted. Their voices together, they raised a prayer of thanksgiving to God that Peter and John had been counted worthy to be arrested and threatened, but not only that, but that they could, by the Holy Spirit of God, heal this lame man. And I don't know whether he came along with Peter and John, but he would be living testimony for what God was doing in the area. You recall the account in Scripture of when the believers were praying for Peter to be released from prison, and an angel came and released Peter out of the prison, opened the doors, took him outside, and Peter went to the very place where all the church was gathered together, and they were praying that Peter would be released from prison. Somebody's knocking at the door. They go and check, and a young girl says, "It's Peter." And they said, "Ah, no, it can't be Peter. We're praying for him to get out of jail." Their prayers were answered, and they couldn't believe it. Do we pray like that? Do we pray and ask God for something, and He does it, and we can't believe it? How come? I didn't think that would happen. Their faith wasn't in their prayers. Sometimes we pray without believing and trusting in God. It is with great confidence that we can gather together and pray together, and that God hears and answers prayer. And you know, I am continually amazed at how God hears and answers even the simplest of requests. When you got up this morning, did you thank the Lord for a new day that He gave? For health and strength that you have to get out of bed? For breakfast that He provided? I don't know. I thank the Lord every time, every night when I'm going to bed, that I have a comfortable home to live in and a comfortable bed to lay down in. Just think of how many Christians there are around this world that are displaced from homes. They have no home. They have no bed. And they're under threat of persecution, and many of them have had to abandon their country, and they go as wandering people in other places trying to find a place where they can stay and not be persecuted. But we can thank God for the assembly of God's people, where much can be accomplished if we gather together and pray together. All through the book of Acts, the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, we can see many places where prayer played a vital role in the growth and the expansion of the early church. Note that they did not ask God for revenge or to get even with these leaders of the country. Rather, that in spite of their threats, that the believers would continue to share the gospel with boldness. Lord, give us holy boldness and the ability by Your Holy Spirit to share Christ with those we come in contact with every day. Folks, the gospel that we have to share with others is radical. It's life-changing. How many of us have had the opportunity to lead one soul to Christ? It's a thrilling experience to hear someone say, "Yes, I trust Christ as my Savior. He is my Savior, and I thank Him." We need to have holy boldness to share Christ. And that's what they prayed for, that they would share the gospel. What a dynamic vitality that is. Notice that when they prayed, the place was shaken. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting where there was an earthquake and the place was shaken? Not likely. But if it ever happened when we were praying, just think how that would affect us. After Christ returned to glory, the saints were all gathered together and they prayed for 10 days together before the Holy Spirit came. And when the Holy Spirit came, Peter preached and 3,000 souls came to Christ. Now we preach we pray for 10 minutes maybe. And what results do we see? Well, thankfully we see some results. But just think of how much more if we prayed and laid hold upon Almighty God and prayed for the power of His Holy Spirit to work in and through us. Not only through us together, but me. Lord, help me to be a faithful witness for You in this lost world and where we live. I'm sure that if there was an earthquake happened while we were having a prayer meeting, that it would certainly affect all of us. Notice that also following this, they all spoke the word of God with boldness. All of us as believers became messengers of the gospel when we trusted Christ. It's not in here. It's out there. That's where the majority of lost souls are. If there's anyone here this morning who does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior personally, you can thank God that the Holy Spirit of God has drawn you here today, because I can share with you what Christ did in my life, and I encourage you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, as I did as a child of 9 years of age, when one day in Sunday school class we were reading Isaiah 53 and 5 out loud, and our Sunday school teacher said, "Now where you put your name in it, He was wounded for David's transgressions. He was bruised for David's iniquity. The chastisement for David's sin was upon Him, and by Jesus' stripes, David is healed." And it came just to me just like that. Jesus took the punishment that I deserved. And folks, each one of us here this morning, the Lord Jesus took upon Himself our guilt, our sin. He suffered, shed His blood, and died, that we could be forgiven. What an awesome thought that is. What an awesome truth it is, that the Son of God would suffer and die to set me free and to bring me forgiveness and eternal life through Christ Jesus my Lord. And men and women, we have the joy and the privilege to share that message like these early saints did in the early church. Peter and John, they came to their own company. They shared what was happening outside, and they were all empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out and to reach souls for Christ. Perhaps we need to be challenged ourselves regarding our attitude and our commitment to prayer and to church fellowship. What a privilege it is to be able to gather together, and like ourselves, my wife and I, to come back here and to have the joy of fellowship with you dear saints here. Our dear friends, we love you, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here today and to share our fellowship one with another. And we all need to value the privilege that it is to meet together with fellow believers, to share what God is doing and in our lives, and to pray and ask God to use us for His honor and glory. May we always have the God-given interest and desire to be found fellowshipping with our fellow believers, our own company. It is this that binds us together in love and fellowship and striving together for the faith of the gospel in a sphere of increasing joy and usefulness for the Lord. Our world is getting worse and worse every day. And you just look at the news on television and it's enough to make you sick what's happening in our world today. But thank God that we have a fellowship of fellow believers where we can rejoice together, we can share together, and be encouraged. We too are energized and strengthened spiritually when we gather with all the Lord's people and with the Lord Himself. How valuable is that? When we meet together, we have fellowship one with another and with the Lord God Himself. When we pray, we can come right into the holy presence of Almighty God and to speak with Him. He hears us. He answers our prayer. What an awesome thought that is. How valuable this is to each one of us. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank You for Your glorious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glories and came into this world. He suffered, shed His precious blood, and died to redeem us from our sin. Help us, Lord, each one of us, to have that holy boldness empowered by Your Holy Spirit to share Christ with those who are lost, who are without God and without hope in this world and destined for a lost eternity. Father, if we could just understand what it means to be lost, we would have more compassion. We would have that holy boldness not to be afraid to share Christ. Help us to live lives that are pleasing to You, and may You be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. We praise You. We thank You. Go with us this week and empower us by Your Holy Spirit. And we give thanks in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. I wonder if we could sing in closing. It's number 642 in the hymnal. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Number 642. What a fellowship. 354? Okay. Let's stand while we sing. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. How sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning. safe and secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. With my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arm, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. And may the peace of God and the joy that he gives go with each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.